Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Becharis daf Chavav. Begin on the third line down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, and that is we had, in the previous Mishnah, we had a machlekes between Akavi and the Chacham regarding the hair of a blemished Bechar that fell off. Question is regarding the permissibility of that hair. Now, there was a machlekes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi how to qualify this machlekes between Akavi and the Chacham, if it was only specifically if the animal ends up being slaughtered, or even when it's going to die. That they had machlekes regarding the concern, if we let you go ahead and use this here, which then you might run into a problem about holding on to the animal longer, I could use the wool, and then might come to do avoida with the animal or shear the wool, and therefore the Chacham said it's aser, and Akavi said it's mutter. Now, regarding that halacha, Rish Lakish qualified and says their whole machlekes is only b'shatir mumcha. I mean, the whole machlekes is only when it's blemished, because if the animal is unblemished, then everyone agrees, even Akavia, that we're concerned. It's unblemished. Person's going to hold on to it because he could utilize something of the animal because he gets to use the hair that falls out. And moreover, he gains that the animal in the meantime might develop a blemish, might not have to bring his carbon. So then we say, no, we don't want you to have any permissibility, utility from it. We want you to bring his carbon. If hair falls out, you can't use it. Now, that Rish Lakish takes it one step further and says that even the Kava would agree that even if it is blemished, but if the mumcha, if the professional who's the one that says, it's a blemish, doesn't have to be brought as a carbon, if he didn't say yet that it's permitted, then for all practical purposes, it's still like a tam, like it was not blemished because it doesn't have any permissibility yet regarding it, and therefore it's going to be forbidden even according to Kava. That the Gemara continues and says, when we had asked different questions on Rish Lakish and didn't refute him, the Gemara says, Lema, let's say that this halacha of Rish Lakish actually kitanoi is actually machlekes tanoi. Because the Braisa says as follows, Hatoilish tseme mebuchar tam. Someone plucks the wool from an unblemished buchar. So here, everyone agrees, even if it subsequently develops a blemish and it gets slaughtered, so asr, then it's going to be forbidden. Because like we said, that regarding when it's unblemished, even Akavi agrees that you might come to delay, and you might come to want it to be precluded and excluded from the sanctity of having to be brought as a carbon on Mizbeach. Moreover, is that at this point in time, there's no element of permissibility regarding permitting the hair that falls out of it. Now, although the wording we said over here is someone who plucks it out, the truth is, as the Gemara at the end of this sugya will explain, it's even if it falls out by itself, because by the time, everyone agrees that it's going to be forbidden. Now, however, the case that we discussed in our Mishnah, b'char bal mum shetalash mimeno, but regarding the blemished firstborn animal, which he had plucked the hair out of it, and here, it's, as we're going to explain according to Akavi, is even if he plucked it. Moreover, v'ach kach meis, and then, however, it subsequently died. So that here that had been plucked off before it died, Akavi ben Malal Mater, he says that here is permitted to have benefit from it. V'chacham Eisim, the sage is forbid this, which seems to be like the second opinion in our Mishnah, which is that of Rabbi Yisi, which he says that even if it subsequently dies, not only when it's slaughtered, that Akavi says it's permitted to have benefit from the hair that fell off before, and the Chacham say it's asr. However, Amar Bihuda, who he's the first opinion in our Mishnah, he says, Loi Bazeh, says not in this case of when it dies, hitra Akavi ben Malal, that Akavi ben Malal says that it's going to be permitted, or rather it's only when it's subsequently slaughtered, which is more lenient, because the slaughtered animal, then the hair that's on it, just like you let it eat that meat, you let it then use that hair that's on it too. You just can't grow it to shear that wool. It says, rather, it's Bisar Bechor Balmum. We're talking about the hair of the firstborn blemished animal, Shanasher, which fell out, Venichu Bechaloin, and was put into the window, Vachach Shchate, then subsequently it was slaughtered. That says Rabbi Huda. Bezeh, Kaveh Ben Malal Mater. It's only in that case that he says permitted. Vacham Eisim, in that case, the sages say still it's going to be forbidden. Now, however, continues the Braisa with a third opinion. Amr B'Yesi says, Maida Abba, my father, who his name is Chalafta, he agrees Bezeh. In this case, meaning, although he was from the sages that we quote in the Mishnah that disputed Akavia, he agrees in this case that you're trying to say to Yehuda that that's where the machlekes is. He says, no, he agreed when it's subsequently slaughtered, Shehumutr, that the hair that fell out before him would be permitted. Avol, but rather, b'yichud, in truth and with clarity, Amr Chacham, the sages had said, Yenechenu b'chalayim, the hair of the firstborn blemished animal that fell out, you could put into the window. Shema yesh tikva, because maybe there's hope. Meaning, maybe there's going to be a permissibility to have benefit from the hair that fell out. And now he explains, what type of hope would there be? Because if Shachato, if it's subsequently slaughtered, because there, Divrei HaKol Mutar, everyone says, no, there it's going to be permitted. It's only by mace. If it dies, that's where Kaveh Balal Mata, that's when he's the one that's lenient. Macha Maisim, that's what the sages say, it's forbidden. Now, regarding this Braisim, the obvious evident question is Rabbi Yesi and the Tanakama. Rabbi Yesi and the Tanakama seems to be saying the same thing. Where the Tanakama says that whoever plucks the hair from an unblemished, from a Bechor Tam, and then slaughters it, so then it's going to be forbidden. That we say everyone agrees to. Now, however, then the inference is, and he says, that if it's blemished and it's slaughtered, according to everyone, it's permitted. But if it dies, that's where the dispute is. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Yesi and the Tanakama is saying, that the Machlekes is when it dies. Elav, rather, says the Gemara, isn't it that Hitira Mumche Kemenayu, what's the difference between Rabbi Yesi and Tanakama? Is, yeah, we're talking about that it's blemished and that it subsequently dies, but the Machlekes is, but did a Mumcha, did a professional check it out and say that it's permitted, that it is a valid blemish to make it not a carbon anymore? The Tanakama, Sabbat Tanakama held Hitira Mumche in, it's only if a Mumcha permitted, then yes, it's going to be permitted. V'loy loy, but if not, not. And you have to say that it's the Tanakama that said this, because this was exactly how we'd explain how Rish Lakish had answered the question we had asked from the previous daf going on to the top of this Amud, where we had asked from the first part of the Braisa of the Tanakama, where the Tanakama had said, if someone's Toilish Tzema from a Chur Tam, says, oh, then it's Bechor Tam, then according to everyone, it's going to be Asr. The inference was, but if it's a Bamum, it's going to be permitted. So that we said is difficult to Rish Lakish, where it sounds like even Shlahitir Mumcha as the top line of our Amud. That Rish Lakish answered, and he said, no, wherever it was that the Mumcha didn't permit it, that's called a Tam. So obviously that's how he understands the words of the Tanakama, that HaToilish Semer from Bechor Tam means to say that even if it's a Bamum, if the Mumcha didn't permit it, that's going to be forbidden according to everyone. Now, however, what that means to say is that when we're saying a Bechor Bamum, what does that mean, Balmum, that's permitted? That means if it was already Hitir Mumcha, that's where the case was Toma, that if it's Tolas Rimenu, that's where we have this Machlekes. Now, on that, Vast Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael came to say that no, Avagaf, the Hitir Mumcha, that even if the sage did not permit it yet, even over there, when it falls out, the Rabbanu would say it's going to be permitted. Where do you see that in his words? Because from the fact that Rabbi Yisrael says, Yesh Tikva, there's hope, which sounds like that there's hope, that then, what do you mean there's hope? That maybe the Mumcha is going to permit it, and then you could go ahead and slaughter it. Which obviously is talking about that up until this point, when the hair fell out, that the sage had not yet permitted when it fell out. And still we see that it's going to be permitted. So obviously they're disagreeing and disputing in the Salach of Rish Lakish. So the Rabbi says, Loi, no. The Kulam, according to everyone, Ihitur Mumcha in. Only if, like Rish Lakish says, if the sage permitted, then yes, if it fell out after that point, it's permitted. If he didn't permit it, even if it was blemished, the hair that fell out would not be permitted. And so how do we explain the Braisa? B'sholosh machlekes v'dov, it's a three-way machlekes, and there we'll see the difference between Rabbi Yis and Tanakama. Because actually, the Tanakama, sub the Tanakama held, pligi b'meis v'hu adin l'shachta. He explains that the machlekes between the Kavi and the Chacham is in both cases, whether it ends up dying or whether it ends up being slaughtered. And we could say this from the fact that we don't find in the words of Tanakama any differentiation by saying that, oh, shachta divrei kol mutar. It doesn't say when it's slaughtered according to everyone that's permitted, which obviously, although he says that the machlekes is when it dies, that the same thing would be even when it's slaughtered. Now, v'haydi kamifka b'meis, then why does he explain their dispute in the case of when it dies? So he would tell you, that's lohi d'yacha, k'echa d'akavya. It's just because he wanted to tell you the strength of the pinna of a kavya, who he says that even when it subsequently dies, which is more prohibited because the hair on it when it dies is prohibited, still, if it fell off before, fine, it's going to be permitted. But the truth is that they dispute even in the case of shachtay. Now, then the second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Saba, he held, no, b'meis d'yacha kol asram. When it died, as he says in the Mishnah, everyone agrees that it's if it fell off Beifan, it's forbidden. Their dispute is only when it was slaughtered. And then Vasrab Yisrael Mimir Yisrael came to say the third opinion, that he said, no, B'shachta Divrei HaKol Mutar, not like Tanakam. When it's slaughtered, everyone agrees that it's permitted. Their dispute is only when it dies. And therefore, there's no difficulty to Rish Lakish from this Braisa to say this as if it's a Machlekes Tanoim. Not necessarily everyone can say Rish Lakish. The Machlekes is regarding, is it by both cases, only mace, or only if we're slaughtered. Now, the Gemara concludes, Amar of Nachman, he says, Halacha could be Huda. Halacha is like a Behuda, who's one of these three interpretations that the machlekes of a Kavna Chacham is when it's slaughtered and not when it dies. Now, why? Since we learned in the choice Mishnayis, which refers to Masechtas Idyos, which that's the choices, like Rabbi Yehuda, that's not because we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos, this is as follows. Sar b'chur balmum shanasha, the hair of a blemished b'chur that fell out, and they put that hair in the window, and then they slaughtered the animal. So we see that we're talking about specifically in the case of when it's slaughtered, so that's why Akav Bemalal says it's permitted. And the sage says it's forbidden. So you see that the way it's qualified in that Mishnah, Masechtas Idyos, is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak says Masnit Namideka. A precise reading of our Mishnah also indicates that it's anonymously said, like the version of Rabbi Yehuda. Because the end of the Mishnah says as follows: Tzemer Hamadulul B'Bachar. If this wool that's hanging, it got detached from the firstborn animal, but it didn't totally fall off. It's still stuck inside the wool of in the fleece of the animal. So on that, the Mishnah said as follows: Esh nira imagiza mutter. That which looks like it's still part of the fleece, so that's permitted, because then you don't run into the problem about people, you know, thinking what? Oh, it's permitted. So then we're going to hold on to the animal. No, it looks like it's part of it. So then, rabbinically, we didn't say it's forbidden. But that which doesn't look like it's part of it, so then we say, okay, that's like what fell off when it's still alive, which is going to be forbidden. Now says the Gemara Mani, who is this anonymous end of the Mishnah? Ilem Rabbi Yosi, if you think it's Rabbi Yosi, so Ubamai. So he's the one that qualified their machlokes in the case of when the animal ended up dying. But he says when it's slaughtered, everyone agrees that it's permitted. So what's the case talking about? Ilem Bishachatai, if we're saying that this animal, which we're saying that if it's Nirimoy or not, if the animal was subsequently slaughtered, so then Bein Akavi, Bein Rabbanon, according to either opinion, Idi, whether it's nearer or loy nearer, in other words, whether it looks like it's part of the fleece or not, Mishra Shari, it should be permitted. Because even if it was put into the window, Rabbi Yitzchak says that even Rabban agreed that it's going to be permitted when it's subsequently slaughtered. So why is it being qualified if it's nearer with it, then it's permitted, not nearer us, or why? Even if it's not nearer, it should be permitted according to everyone. So what are you going to say? It's Tumat, no, when the animal ended up dying. Now, the Rabbanon, it was like Rabbanon, see, Idvi Idi Mishra Asi. Then in either situation, it should be forbidden. Because that which is attached to the animal needs to be buried according to everyone. And that which was detached according to Rabbanon is forbidden even if you put it into the window. So why would it make a difference if Nirimoy or not? And the Akavya, and if it's Rabbi Yisi going like Akavya, so then actually Ipchamiboyle, it should have said exactly the opposite in the Mishnah. It should have said Niri Imagiza Asa, that which seems like part of the fleas is going to be forbidden. Why? Because it's like part of that which we explained the case as it died, which part of the dead Bukhar, Demisa Kastrolay. It looks like it's part of the Bukhar, which is forbidden to have benefit, like the dead Bukhar. And Einanir Magiza Motor should have said that which does not look like part of the fleece is permitted because the Mikar Talish, it was already detached beforehand. And he says that if it's detached beforehand, it's permitted. So it should actually be the exact opposite of what the Mishnah says. So Elab Shita, rather it's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda, the anonymous end of the Mishnah, is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who he says their Machlekes is when it was subsequently slaughtered. Now, Ubimai. So what's the case that he's told about over here by this dead animal that there's the fleece and you have that which was detached but stuck inside? Ubamai, ilem ibemeis, if we're talking about that it died, meaning not through slaughtering, so then, bein la kavya, bein la rabbanon, then according to both opinions, idvi idi, whether it's nearer b'toich or it's not nearer like part of it, meisa asri, should be forbidden, because Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that they only disagree by shchuta, but by mes, everyone agrees it's forbidden. Rather must be talking about when it was subsequently slaughtered. Now, if it's Rabbi Yehuda going like a kavya, but then then in either situation it should be permitted because he says if it got detached beforehand, and for sure when it's not detached, because when it's slaughtered, the hair that's on is permitted, both should be permitted. Why is it Tali and Ein and Nira or Nira? Rather must be Rabbi Yehuda going like Rabbanan, which they say that only if it's part of it, it's permitted, but if it got detached beforehand, even the subsequently slaughtered, it's forbidden. But one thing is, one thing is that we see that the way we're qualifying the machlokes in our Mishnah from the fact of the anonymous halacha at the end, and the fact that you can't explain the halacha at the end like any other case, it's obviously going like Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, that if the Tan anonymously says like Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like him, shma minah, so obviously halacha is like him, that that's the machlekes, and it was going like him in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that when it's subsequently slaughtered, it's only that which is on it, but that which is not on it, and even if it looks evident that it's not on it, so then that's going to be us. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara says, Boyer Biane. Biane had the following question. Hatoylish tzemer ma'ila tamima. If someone detaches wool from an unblemished carbon ayla, meaning when the carbon oil was still alive, then it subsequently developed a blemish, and then it was redeemed. So the question is, according to the Rabbanon, now what's the halacha? Now, the reason why we're asking it specifically by an unblemished carbon oila is because if we're talking about what's the halacha after a blemished carbon oila was slaughtered, that wouldn't be a question, because most definitely according to Rabbanon, that would be aser, because if you would say it's permitted, then you run into the same problem we were always talking about. Then the person might come to delay and might come to hold on to that blemished carbon oila, and then he's going to come to do gizeb and avaida with it, which is problematic. But the question is regarding when it's unblemished. That's the question which the Gemara first asks on the question. Toilish Mika Mandashari, is there anyone that's going to say that if he deliberately goes and plucks, that it's going to be permitted? According to Rabbanan, most definitely he's wicked, and for sure we would say that it's going to be forbidden, because one's not allowed to do those things to a carbon oila that's unblemished. Eli, rather, the Gemara qualifies the question. We're talking about Semer Shenitlish Ma'ila Tamimimau. No, not Toilish, but rather it falls out by itself, the wool from an unblemished carbon oila. So what's the question? So the Gemara explains. The chatas of Ashram Loiti Ba'ilach, when it's a common chatas, a sin offering or guilt offering, so that we wouldn't have a question. That the kivin de lechapara asu, this unblemished carbon, since it's being brought for his atonement, he's carrying a sin, le'mashlu, he's not going to delay it, and most definitely then it's going to be permitted what falls out, because we're not concerned if we let him have that wool, then he's going to hold on and not sacrifice it. No, he needs his carbon being brought. Now, and the reverse is true. The Bechayr Maisanami, which was the topic of our previous sugya regarding the Karb Mechayr and so to the Maiser, there's no question the other way. The Kibin de Lav Lechapar also, since it's not for any of his atonement, it's an obligation that he has, but it's not atonement. So to the contrary, Mashluhu, he actually would delay, hopes it develops a blemish, then doesn't have to bring it as a carbon, he could use it for his own personal use. So there, we say, as we were saying all along, so then it's going to be Aser when it's time, when it's unblemished. The whole question that we're asking over here from Uyanai is specifically regarding the carbon oila. My, what's the halacha? Because it's actually somewhere in between. And that is kivin, since as a ketin tamid beis, the ikalav l'chapara, see, a carbon oila primarily is not coming for atonement, because it's not brought for sins. A sin is a karma chatzos or karma noshin. So mashila, so he might come to delay and say, hey, you know, maybe it'll develop a blemish, I won't have to, and therefore maybe we should say that the wool that falls off it should be prohibited. Maybe no. Even the oila nami machaper asay, since the carbon oila also comes to atone is in for positive for positive violations, as the Gemara says in Sechtes Yuma on the carbon oila, that he makes a confession regarding the certain matnas aniyim that he didn't fulfill. So lemashila, he's not going to delay because he wants the atonement, and therefore actually the wool that falls off should be permitted. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says Tashma, let's bring a raya from the brayos we brought before. The Braisa said, "Hatoilish tzema bebechar tam." Someone plucks wool from an unblemished firstborn animal. So, avapishenoil by mum. We said, according to everyone, even if it subsequently develops a blemish, shchatai, and then he slaughters it, it's going to be aser. Now, the inference is as follows: time of the toilish. So, it sounds like the reason is because he deliberately plucked it. Hanit lashari. But if it fell off by itself, then it would be permitted. And what are we talking about? By a tam, by an unblemished animal. Now, that's by bechar. And Bechar has no atonement element whatsoever. And therefore, for sure, by carbon oila, we're going to say it's going to be permitted, because there for sure it's not going to delay it, because he's going to want to get at least that quasi type of atonement. So you see that it is going to be permitted, the wool that falls off. The Rishon Gemara says, no, you can't make that deek from the Braisa. Truth is, even if it got detached by itself, it would be forbidden, as we had alluded to this on Amud Aleph. Then why does the Braisa say that specifically the prohibition when you pluck it, say even the bigger chiddush, even when it falls up by itself? Says the Gemara, no, because the Tana wanted to say the strength of the pin of a kavya regarding the parallel case, the bebalmum, because when it's blemished, a filib toilish nami shari. He said the prohibited of tam in toilish, but really prohibition of tam is even by nitlash. And therefore, of course, the same would apply to oila, and actually by oila would be forbidden. The reason why he said by toilish is to say in the parallel case of when it develops a blemish, that even a filib toilish nami shari, even when he plucks it off, a kavi says is going to be permitted. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but vanan nashr tanan. In our Mishnah, when we said the opinion of a kavya, we only said it when it falls off by itself. So obviously, when does a kavya permit, it only falls off by itself, and not when he deliberately plucks it. How could you say that we're saying it for a kavya, and he permits by balmum, even when he plucks it, but seemingly we said only when it falls off by itself? Says the Gemara, no, because Tana Nasher, the Tana of our Mishnah says, when it fell off by itself, he was coming to tell you, L'diacha keichan d'rabbanan. He wanted to tell you the strength of the pinyan d'rabbanan, that even when it's blemished, it's going to be forbidden. Tana Toilish, the Tana of the Braisa says, deliberately plucking it, because he wanted to tell the strength of the pinyal kavya that by balmum it's going to be mutter even when you deliberately plucked it. But again, that still we could explain that the halacha, the brisa is even when it falls up by itself, it when it's unblemished, it's going to be aser by bacharin, definitely for the oila, and therefore you can't prove that by oila it's going to be mutter. To the contrary, we could say that it's going to be aser when it fell off from the unblemished carbon oil. Now, the Gemara concludes, explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which the last halacha said, this that we quoted before, Tzema HaMadulda B'chulu, regarding this wool that was hanging. So he said it depends. If it's Nirima, it looks like it's part of it, then it's going to be permitted. But if it looks like it came out before, like the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then even if you subsequently slaughter it, it's going to be forbidden. Now, says the Gemara, Heichadami Einin Nirima Giza. So what's the qualification of this that we said that which was already fell off when it was still alive, that when you finally slaughter the animal, that if it doesn't look like it's part of the fleece, that which is the wool on the animal, then it's going to be aser. What's the qualification of that? So Amar Belaz, Amar Rish Lakish, he says, it's called she'ikari hafach klapi reisha. It's when the root is turning upside down, which is the other way, towards the top, meaning the midpoint of the here turns, it gets folded over, where now you have the two tips are visible from the outside. So the root and the end are both visible from the top. That obviously looks like that was already detached from beforehand. That's going to be awesome. Rav Nosson Bar Ishi, he says, it's kol she'ein mismayach, but it doesn't get pushed down, meaning it's not equal in magiza with the fleece. Rather, you could tell it's sticking out a little bit on the top. That's obvious that it was already detached when it was still alive. That's going to be awesome. So that the Gemara asks, of Rish Lakish, my time alo amakrav Nosson Bar Ishi, why doesn't he say like his qualification? Most definitely, if it can't be pushed down, then it's not near magiza, and therefore that should be a problem, that should be what's aser. So Amr Belah, he says, Kesav Rish Lakish, Lakish held, Lafi she'ef shle giza b'le nimen hamadildolis. It's not possible for the fleece not to have any hairs that are sticking out, that are going up on the top. And if that would be the qualification that makes it aser, so you would never have fleece that's going to be permitted. Now Rav Nosson, who's more stringent, therefore the Gemara didn't ask him why he doesn't say like Rish Lakish, but the Gemara wondered why doesn't Rish Lakish say like the most stringent opinion of Rav Nosson Bar Ishi, and that the Gemara says no, because then you would never have any that's permitted. Which I'll return to you, the third paragraph of Masechta Bechorah is Perek Lekech Behemah. Someone purchases an animal from a non-Jew, which spoke about primarily doubts and exemptions in the laws of Bechorah. And then we begin the fourth paragraph of Masechta Bechorah, Perek Ad Kama, which continues on the halachas and other related halachas of the laws of Bechorah. Says the Mishnah, Ad Kama Yisrael Chayovin Litapel Bechorah. How long does a non-Kain have to hold on to and work with the firstborn animal? Like, for example, in today's times, where before he gives it to the kain, where it's not brought as a carbon, that he's prescribed that he has to hold on to it and sustain this animal until he gives the firstborn to the kain. So and that says the Tanna Kamma, bedaka shleishim yom, small livestock, small animals is for 30 days, ubekasa chamishim yom, and large livestock, which is like cows, those have to be 50 days. Now Rabbi Yisem, he says, no, bedaka shleishim chadashim. He says, by small livestock, like sheep, you have to hold on to it for 3 months. Continues the Mishnah, let's say Amalak Kain Mateichas Man. Let's say the Kain tells him within the time frame that the Yisrael has to hold on to it and he has to sustain the animal. The Kain tells him, Tenayuli, give it to me. Says the Mishnah, Rezuli, Nenuli, he's not allowed to give it to him. And the Gemara will explain the reason for that. Now, but Vimbal Mumhu, but if let's say this Bukhari already has developed a blemish, Vamaloy, and the Kain tells him within that time frame, Tenayuli Shaykhlenu, give it to me that I want to eat it, which he already could do because he already has a blemish, then Mutta then is permitted to give it to him even within this time. Now, at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was around, if the Bukhari was unblemished, he says, give it to me, even within this time frame, he says, I'll bring it as a carbon, so then mutter there also is going to be permitted. Continues the Mishnah, Bukhari nechal shana b'shana, the Bukhari is eaten within the year. And this is bein tam, whether it's unblemished at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was around, bein bal mum, whether it's as a blemish, like in today's times, Shneim, like the pasuk says in Devarim, Lefnei Hashem lekecha techlenu shana b'shana, in front of Hashem your God, you have to eat it every year, meaning it's within that year that the obligation is to eat that and consume and bring it as a carbon, that b'char. Now, says the Mishnah, Noyel le'mum b'tech shnasa, if it develops a blemish within its year, so Rishoy le'kai mekosh ne'im asachet, you should let it hold on to it for the whole 12 months. And the Girsa is, la'achar shnasa, however, after the year, en Rishoy le'kai me'ela, and the Girsa is, ad la'mayah, I mean, only allowed to hold on to it up until a period of 30 days. Now, the Gemara wonders, but not immediately, where do we know this criterion that we're saying that small livestock, 30 days you have to hold on to, and then give it to the kohen, large livestock, 50 days, how do you know this? So Rav Kahane says, because Damakra, the pasuk says in Shemais, Bechor benecha titnli, the firstborn of your sons you have to give to me, there's many different areas of Bechor, firstborn son, firstborn animals. So the pasuk says, the firstborn of your sons you should give to me. Kein tasa, so too you should do litzeinecha for your sheep, which is the firstborns of the bechor of the animals. Now the pasuk says, meliyascha v'demacha loisacher. Your bikurim and your truma you should not delay. You have to give it to, you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the kohen. Kein tasa l'sharecha, so too you should do for your ox. Which, what you see from this pasuk is as follows. We're actually talking about two psukim. There's a pasuk in Shemais Chav Beis, pasuk Chav Ches, and then pasuk Chav Tes says, meliyascha v'demacha loisacher. Which talks about the obligation of Truma and Bikurim and that of the Pidyon HaBen, the firstborn son. Then the next pasuk says, Kintasa l'sharecha, so do you do for your ox, and l'tzenecha, and for your sheep, which then you bring it as a Bechar. But the way we're expounding this is as follows. It says, Bechar b'necha tidenly, the firstborn son you should give me, and it says, V'chein l'tzenecha, the next pasuk, so too for your sheep. Which is teaching, just like your firstborn son, the mitzvahs after he's 30 days old, like the pasuk says in Midbar Yudches, Ufiduyev ben chaydish tifte, the redemption of the firstborn, Pinya ben, is done after 30 days, so too Bechar of the Tzayin is after 30 days. Like we said, the Daka Shleishim Yayim. Now, when the pasuk says Meliyascha b'demacha, which Meliyascha refers to Bikurim, and then the next pasuk says Kein l'sharecha, so too for your ox, is telling us, just like Bikurim is brought after 50 days, because Pesach is when the grain ripens, and however the Bikurim is not brought until the Shteya Lechem is brought on Shavuos, which is 50 days later, as the Gemara says in Menachas, HaMechesem HaBeis. So you see that the Shur, the large livestock, is after 50 days, like Bikurim. However, the Gemara asks, Epechano, maybe I should say the exact opposite. Maybe it's the small livestock after 50 days, and it's a large one after 30 days. So the Gemara, no, Mistabr, it's logical, Dimikadam Likadam. That which is mentioned first in the first Pasuk should be like that which is first in the second Pasuk. In the first Pasuk, it's first says Meliyascha b'demacha, which talks about the halacha of bikur. So therefore, we're going to expound it. What's mentioned first in the second pasuk, which is Asherecha, which is on the oxen, which is the large livestock, which is 50 days, and demacha lemedacher, that which is mentioned last in the first pasuk, should relate to that which is mentioned last in the second pasuk, which bechor benecha is mentioned last in the first pasuk, which is 30 days. We'll expound it, which is mentioned last in the second pasuk, which is tzeinecha, which is the small livestock, which is given to the kohen after 30 days. So Rosh Gemara asks, Adrab, to the contrary. Maybe say desamachle ledesamachle. Maybe say that which is close to one should be close to the other one. Bechor benecha is the last thing mentioned in the first pasuk, and the thing most in proximity to it, which is the first of the second pasuk, is sherecha. So maybe sher should be 30 days and not sign. So Elam Rabba, rather Rabba gives a different interpretation. He says, Amakra tasa. The truth is they both learned out from Bechor benecha, which is 30 days. But it says in the pasuk tasa, which hoisav lucha hakasav asiya cheres b'sherecha, when it talks about sherecha, it says kein tasa l'sherecha, it's saying another doing, which is by the sherecha, by your ox, the large livestock, there's another doing, which should be more than just for a son, which takes us up to 50 days. On that as the Gemara, vei mashitin, say 60 days, because it's saying another doing, like it is for b'char benecha, which is 30 days, another doing should take it up to 60 days. Why are we saying only 50 days? Says the Gemara, Le'masarcha hakasav elechacham. The pasuk only gives it over to the sages, because since the pasuk is not explicit regarding what's the measurement of what you should add on for sheirecha, most definitely that masar was given over to the sages, that they'll tell you the reason, which, and after them you have to go, which that's what Rabbeinu Gershom says, and they rely on Meliyascha b'demacha loisacha, which on the laws of Bikurim, which is after 50 days. Says the Gemara, Tanna Malach is similar in the Brice like this. Pasuk says, Bechor benecha titanli, the firstborn of your sons you should give to me. And it says, Kein tasa, the next pasuk says, so too you should do. It says, Litzenecha, for your sheep. Now, Yochel af l'sherecha, you would think also a large livestock like oxen. Tamalei matasa, so it says, tasa l'sherecha, hislocha hakasav asiyah cheres b'sherecha. It says, another doing regarding the large livestock. And this was interpretation was given over only to the sages, which, and they're the ones who say it's 50 days. And Mekan Amr, from here is where they said, like the Halacha in our Mishnah, Ad kami Yisrael chayav li tabal b'bachar, how long does the Yisrael have to hold on to the firstborn animal? The small livestock, 30 days, and the large livestock, 50 days. Now, as we said in the Mishnah, he says, no, small livestock, you actually have to hold on to for 3 months. And the reason is, Menesha Tipula Maruba, because the effort put into taking care of the small livestock is more. And Tana would learn the Braisa why. Menesha Shineo Dakas, because its teeth are thin and it cannot eat the grass unless it has its mother with it, or else it's going to die. And therefore, giving the complete product to the kind is going to require for the small livestock holding on to it for 3 months. Now the Mishnah said, "Im omalei akoin b'teichas man tenayuli." If the kohen says, however, in spite of it, says within that time frame, he says, "Give it to me." Says the Mishnah, "Harezal litloy." No, you're not allowed to give it to him. Says, "Give him my time." What's the reason? It's for his benefit, but he wants it earlier. Why can't you give it to him? Some of Sheshe said, "B'mneishen nira kohen hamasiyeh be'beis agronis." He looks like the violation of a kohen who's assisting in the granary, because in today's times, a bechayr is not fit for anything, because it can't be brought as a carbon, there's no base of Beidish, until it develops a blemish. Now, since that responsibility is incumbent upon the Yisrael to be involved with it and take care of this animal, which no one can use anyway, which therefore it's total loss up until 50 days, and then the kohen comes within this time frame and he says, "Give it to me, I'll take care of it," even though he has no benefit from it. So he appears to like being a worker, and he's saving the Yisrael from that effort, as long as he'll get it after the 50 days, and not any other kohen. He looks like a kohen that's assisting in the granary to be threshing and to be winnowing, so that he'll get the trumos, because he's in competition with all the other kohanim, which we're going to shortly explain, and that's a violation. Now, that's only if it's a tam, but like our Mishnah said, if it was blemished, and he says, "Give it to me that I will eat it," so since it's fit for him, that's not like a kohen hamasiyeh b'beis agronis, he could use it. He's not giving any benefit to the Yisrael. It could be utilized right away. Then it's saving the Yisrael some money. That looks like a kohen hamasiyeh b'beis agronis, and therefore you're not allowed to do that even if he asked for it. Now, Tanur Ban Lunda Braisa, expanding on this halacha of kohen hamasiyeh b'beis agronis, the Braisa says, "Hakehanim v'alavim v'aniyim," which are three different groups that get certain gifts from Yisraelim. "Hamisayeim beveis harayim," if they're assisting in the house of the shepherds, which that's actually referring to the kahanim, so they're assisting the shepherds so that they can get the bechayrus, the firstborn animals. Or ubeveis agronis, or in the granary, which is where the grain is threshed, and that's going on all of them. Kayanim would be helping because they want to get the truma. Levim are helping because they want to get the meiser rishon. And the neim are helping because they want the meiser ani. Or ubeveis amet bechayim, or they're helping out in the butcher house, which that's going on the kahanim, who they get from every chul and animal that's slaughtered, they get the foreleg and the jaw and the maw. Says the halacha, "Ein nois lehem truma u'maiser b'scharin." You don't give them the truma or the maiser for the payment for the work that they're doing. V'maisin kein, if that's done, that's chilulei, that's a desecration. And v'alein ha'kazavayim, and that the pasuk says, "Malachi shichatim bris ha'levi," you have destroyed the covenant of the Levi, because he's supposed to get that gift free, and now he's working for it and he's taking away from that status. And Va'imir, so too, the pasuk says, "Bamidbar, that's kacha b'nei Yisrael, loisa chalub, loisa musu." The holy things of the Jewish people, you should not desecrate and you shouldn't die. Says the Gemara, "My Va'imir, what do we need a second pasuk for?" And that says the Gemara, because v'chitem and misaloi, if you can say, okay, it's a desecration, it's a destruction of the covenant of the Levi, but a person's not going to die. Tashema, that's the pasuk teaches, "Bamidbar, that's kacha b'nei Yisrael, loisa chalub, loisa musu." Don't desecrate it, and then you won't die, which the inference is, if someone does, then that actually brings about death. Now, more of it says the Braisa, "Bikshe chacham l'kainson." The sages wanted to penalize the homeowner that would do this, that would pay with the truma or meiser to the kain or the levy that's doing the work. "Valis mafrishna lehem truma mishalim," which, or the gear says mishalehem, said they should have to separate again truma and meiser from their own stuff and not be exempted from the truma that they gave to the worker that's the kain. Now, but they didn't. Says the Gemara, "Nei malu kainson." Why didn't they penalize them? Says the Gemara, because you could run into a problem. Dima asila afrushim in apat alachiv, that might bring about a situation where they might take trumas and maises from something that's really biblically exempt on something that's biblically obligated, because they might have two piles of grain, one that's totally untithed, and one which is the one that he had taken trumas and given that to the kohen that was helping him out in the granary. Now, if you're going to say that, okay, we're going to consider that grain as if it wasn't separated trumas from it because of the penalty, so the homeowner is going to think, okay, it's back to the state of untithed, and he's going to separate from that produce onto the other pile, but that's a problem because biblically it's really exempt already because he really did give it. It's just rabbinically, it's just this halachic that's giving us this problem. It's just a penalty. So therefore, to avoid that, we didn't give that penalty, although we really would like to because of this person that's violating this halacha of kohen hamasiyeh b'beis agronis. Now, concludes the Braisa, ubekulon, regarding all these matanis, these gifts that we're talking about. So although it's inappropriate to have the guy working for you and then giving him as payment for the gifts that he's supposed to get for free, but yesh ben, but there still isn't these gifts, as it continues at the top of Chavzayin Manal, taivas hanal labailam. There's still some, a little bit benefit of pleasure of deciding who it goes to, that does belong to the owner of those matanis, of those gifts that go to kahanim, levim, and aniyim. Kate said, how so? Explains the Braisa. Yisrael shehifresh truma mikiryah. If there's Yisrael that separated truma from his pile of produce. And then another Yisrael encounters him and he tells him, he says, look, Haylach selazeh. Take this coin, and you have to give this. You don't get anything. You can't use it to pay a worker, but you're going to give it to some kain. So do me a favor. Yeah, take this money. V'tenehu leben biti kain. Give it to my daughter's son. My daughter married a kain. Give it to my daughter's son, who's a kain. This truma, says the Braisa Mutter, that's permitted to be done. That's what's called Tevas Anah. Now, but imhoyu kain. But if the one who's offering the selah is a kain, so that it should be given l'kain, so it should be given to a different kain that's his relative, that, again, that's us, because since that's fit for him, again, it looks like he's a kain of Mesiyeh, but we say, this is as if there's something going on over here that he's paying for the truma, which is problematic. That runs into the problem of kain Mesiyeh. Now, we want to ask a question on the Braisa. But Tana, my time will come a matnas kahuna. Why didn't the Tana first says, oh, b'kul and yesh ben tayves and all these gifts, the owner gets some benefit from it. He can't pay the workers that are the kahanim and levim themselves, but he gets some benefit from it. The problem is when he explains the halacha, he only says, for example, like you saw that separated truma from his produce. Why didn't he mention also the matnas kahuna, like a butcher that had taken off the matanis of the Zroi, the L'chaim, and the Keva, or a shepherd that had b'chayris that are firstborn animals? Why didn't he say that as cases also that someone came over to him and says, hey, I have a grandson that's a kain, and here, take the selah? Why didn't he say those cases? So Amalachi would tell you, because no. Truma, the reason why there it's permitted with this halacha of teves hanah is because the kedushas hagofi, truma has physical sanctity. Everybody knows that you can't take truma and make it back into chulam. Because it's a physical, something that has physical sanctity. Certain levels of sanctity that we treat this truma. So therefore, this grandson Kayan is not going to come to think, hey, my mother's father, my grandfather gave a selah for this truma. Oh, it's deconsecrated. He deconsecrated the truma and it's considered chayil. And he's going to say, oh, it became chayil through that selah that my grandfather gave. And I could treat it in a chulun type of a way. No. The kivin dulei maschil, since it doesn't become undone into chulin, la'asa limiti, but he's not going to come to confuse it. He'll know that it's obviously bona fide truma. He'll treat it with that sanctity. The problem is, hani, these other cases like matanis of b'chayr, kivin de kedushas damim ninu, since it only has a monetary sanctity, which is the kohen who gets those kind of gifts of the zraya and l'chaim the keva. If he wants to sell that the meat of the firstborn animal, he could sell it to Yisrael. And then the Yisrael doesn't have to go out and eat it the way a kohen has to eat it, which is roasted with mustard, like the kohen has to do it. So which that obviously shows it doesn't have physical sanctity, only has monetary sanctity. So therefore, Asi, so this grandson kohen, he might come lamiti behind to make a mistake. And the gear says, Savar, he's going to think that since this was purchased, Mischa Kedusha Sayu Arba Zuzi, its sanctity, which is only monetary sanctity, was deconsecrated on the four Zuzim that his grandfather, which the seller that he gave, which is four Zuzim, had given. V'asila minig b'hen minig d'chulun, and he's going to come to treat it in a chulun type of a way. And that he's not going to eat it roasted with mustard, as the Gemara explains in Chul Nafkof Lamed Bezim Abez, which is the obligation of the Zrayim, the Chayim, and the Keva. That's why we didn't say that you could do this Tevas Hanah type of operation. Because if you do it, the grandson might come to be confused and think, oh, it was deconsecrated, it was purchased, it was sold by the whoever was selling it, and now it doesn't have to treat it as the Matnas Kahuna. And therefore what actually comes out is, although the Braisa said Ubukulon, the actual halacha actually is, it's only referring to trumas and maisers. On all these trumas and maisers, there's with the halacha tevas hanah, because that's a kedusha saguf, that they're not going to make a mistake, they'll treat it the appropriate sanctity, and then yes, the Yisrael can decide by getting some kickback who to give it to, but regarding those which only have monetary sanctity, you can't use that operation of tevas hanah, because it might come to confuse this idea that I think it has none of the halachas that apply to it, which it actually does, until it's then subsequently sold by this grandson kain, but up until then it has the halachas, so not to confuse that, there actually we don't allow that halacha of Tevas Hanah.